Our scripture reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, the story of the lost son. To illustrate the point that there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting until you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and took a trip to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money on wild living. About the same time the money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. The boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired men have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired hand.'" So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening in the pen. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. "Your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the calf we were fattening and has prepared a great feast. We were celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I worked hard for you and not once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money, you celebrate by killing the finest calf we have." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you and I are very close, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come to life. He was lost, but now he is found." The word of God for the people of God.
Grateful to our sister in Christ for how she has shared these words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It's alive, certainly. It speaks to us once again today. And you continue to speak into our lives. No matter where we're at, no matter where we're going, no matter where we come from, you call us home. Even in the midst of brokenness, you call us home to be with you. Thank you, Lord, for that incredible grace and love. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. J.R.R. Tolkien has been one of the favorite Christian authors of many people for some time now. And he gained a whole new audience by the trilogy, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the movies. You may have seen those. You may have become quite a fan, in fact. Well, there was one more movie that came out relatively recently, The Hobbit. And I learned something about hobbits. Not only are they small in stature, and do they have hairy feet. I know you're really tempted to look at the person next to you right now. I know you're tempted to look down and see. If there are any hobbits amongst us, welcome. You are welcome here. But their kind of birthday celebration is just a little bit different. Okay? Rather than expecting everyone to give them a birthday party, they throw a birthday party for everyone else on their birthday. Kind of an interesting tradition, isn't it? So when your birthday comes up, you throw a big party, but it's for everyone else. Now, I was just thinking about that, getting a cake, happy birthday, and then filling in everybody's name all over the cake. Or maybe what you would do is just have a big tube of that icing and let people do it themselves. And there'd be some that would squirt some in and then they'd finish their name. I know that. If any of you have a party like that, invite me to it, okay? I want to be there. There is this grace that is communicated in that kind of party. It is for everyone. And anyone, and all are welcome to participate in that party, in that celebration. That, my friends, is what God's grace is like. Is God's grace scandalous? Is it challenging? Does it stretch us? Because is it going to include other people that we may not want to include? Yes. But who's in charge? If you thought your own name, that's okay. You're wrong. But that's okay. God's going to work on you there as well, in a way of grace. This story is about God's grace more than anything else. And it's quite a familiar story. Jesus has been teaching, has been sharing stories. He's been teaching about the cost of discipleship. These are the headings, and you can find these in any study Bible. He's been talking about salt. Anybody put too much salt on their food? Use it when they shouldn't? No? The parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin are the stories of two other things that were lost are right before the parable of the prodigal son, or the lost son, if you will. One of the worst places to be spiritually is lost. Whenever you feel as though, where is God? And you have that question more than anything else. And you wonder, what's going to happen next? God, what do you have in store next? And you have no idea. That feeling of being lost is one of the worst feelings that we can ever experience. The son who goes to his father and in essence says, I wish you were dead. That's what he was saying. He wanted his inheritance. And in the Jewish tradition, the way that you got your inheritance was when that person died, and then things were divided up. So the son is saying that to his father. And in this tradition as well, he probably would have been given land. Would not have necessarily been given a chunk of money, but rather he would have been given land. And then what he did with that sacred trust would have turned everyone else in the village against him. Because you see, land was seen as something that connected the people to God. And so it was seen as holy, actually, and sacred. Think about last week, whenever we were talking about Isaiah the prophet talking to the people who were separated from their homeland, who were in exile, outside from their land, the land that they knew, the dirt that belonged to them. You see, it was a sacred and holy connection that God had given them this land. And so what this son did was by selling it is saying, I don't care about that connection either. I wish you were dead, Dad, and I don't care about this sacred and holy connection either. And he takes the money, and he leaves, and he goes. We're not exactly sure where he went, far off country. I don't think that Las Vegas existed at that time. I'm not sure. Now, I'm not sure about that. What's that phrase? What happens in Vegas? You know, just like with first service, I got to talk to some of you afterwards. I mean, some of you knew that too quickly, so I'm not going through names. But he went off, and we don't know what he did, but he squandered it to the point when he finds himself knee-deep in it. I'm not going to tell you what he was knee-deep in, but he was working with the hogs, literally. Anybody here ever farm hogs? Possibly? Yeah, absolutely. Whenever I was serving a church in Western Ohio, a church that was literally out in a cornfield, okay? I worked with farmers and it blessed me. That was some of my favorite memories. But one brother and sister in Christ were hog farmers. And you know, I like to visit people when called upon. And so whenever I visited them, I always girded myself and a little bit extra. Because I don't know if you've ever been around a hog farm. You know you're getting there about a mile away out in the country. Okay? I'm just telling you. Some of the best people you ever want to meet. But you know you're getting there. And this guy was knee deep in it. Okay? And in his heritage, working with swine, with hogs, completely against what he should have been doing. And in fact, he was so lost and so separated that he didn't have enough to eat, that he was wallowing around. And there's a phrase that's used that I like. He came to himself. And we can use that in our lives as well. He came to himself. He came to herself. That epiphany, light bulb goes on, whatever you want to describe it as, when we are in the midst of the muck and mire of life, when we're knee deep in it, okay, we finally realize, you know, I think I'm going to follow how God leads me from now on. Guy climbs out of the muck, starts cleaning himself off. You know, didn't have the facilities that we do right now, so he's walking mile after mile after mile to get back to his father, to get back home, quote unquote. And we can imagine him walking over some really rugged terrain and kind of still has that smell about him and walking and tired and beat up and what's worse then what's going on the outside of him is what's going on the inside of him. He's rehearsing this statement that he's going to offer to his dad. Because he knows he's got to grovel. He's publicly embarrassed him, publicly humiliated him, and he knows he's got to grovel before him now to be welcomed back home, and that's what he thinks. So the whole time, not only is he a mess on the outside, he's a mess on the inside. But then the extraordinary and scandalous and surprising part of the story comes up. Because Jesus says that his father's, in essence, been waiting for him. In fact, whenever the son left the first time, we can imagine the father just watching him walk over the horizon. We can imagine that every day since then, the father gets up, looks, sees if the son's coming back. He's not. The next day, looks, each and every day, looking, hoping. And each and every day, what's going on in that father's heart? What's he imagining? We don't know, but there was something very powerful that was motivating him to continue to look for that son. And it was love. It was love that was motivating that father to continue to look for that son. Because as that son starts walking down just comes into view, This man who has been humiliated and publicly humiliated by this person coming into view, what's he do? He runs out. He has complete abandon. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks about him. He doesn't care how he looks. And he runs out and he hugs this son who just said he earlier wished that you were dead, and he kisses him on the neck. And he holds on to him and he embraces him. And he welcomes him home. You have to understand that that embrace and that welcome home had great significance as well. And those who heard this story first would have recognized that this son, as he had acted so shamefully before, probably would have been stoned by the others in the village. So not only is it a love that the father is protecting for him, okay, as he comes back home, but it's an actual protection that he's wrapping himself around the son so the people can't stone him to death. There's a phenomenal party. It's the kind of party that I want to be invited to that happens. The best of everything. There is a complete abandon that the father has for this one who has come back home. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because, just like any good soap opera, there's another family member. In this case, another brother. He's been working hard. Hey, commendable. In fact, no question about it. Seemingly good guy. And yet, he is disgusted with what is taking place. The father, in essence, says to him, as he goes out to this son as well, this is an extraordinary father, breaking with everything that's to be expected. His actions are actions that had never been seen before, okay? He goes out and welcomes a son home that wishes that he had been dead. He goes out and chases after a son that's pouting, that's mad at him. In other words, he extends himself to others even when they're not acting their best. Let me think. Who else does that for us? The conversation, the dialogue, we don't know all that took place between the other son and the father. But the father says, this is not about your brother. And it's certainly not about you. It's about a love and joy that I feel. And I want to share that with everyone. That's what God actually says to us every day. We can't believe it because we can't comprehend it. There's no way that any of us can truly comprehend and understand the love and grace that God has for us. It's too big. It's too enormous. It's too powerful. It's also too intimate. But we can receive it. And that's what we're called to do. Either son here in the story asked to explain what's going on, kind of step back and explain it or be part of the narrative. No. They're simply called to receive what's going on. The son that came back home, can you imagine rehearsing the statement and eventually sharing it, but, you know, realizing that you really didn't have to grovel. His father loved him. Anyways, the other son, understanding that it was all for him as well. Anything that the father had was for him as well. So the question is, for us today, there's a question actually in the bulletin about this. When are we like the prodigal? Or when are we like the other brother? In our faith walk, in our understanding of grace, and how we see God at work in our lives and as a community. Because if we understand that God's grace is for everyone, then we understand that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's not about a level of holiness that we receive or attain above one another, but rather all welcome to the party. All welcome to the banquet. All celebrated by God. Maybe you don't think that God's celebrating you, but He made you. He breathed life into you. He's washing over you with His grace right at this very moment, and He's never going to let you go. So I think He is celebrating you, and He loves you more than you can imagine. Maybe some of us can understand crawling out of that muck and mire, scraping it off, turning back to God and hoping that He receives us, and then being surprised because He does. And He always will. Oh my goodness. What do we do with that kind of grace, folks? We live it. We share it. We go back home. And we follow God. How have you turned away from God? Or maybe, how have you become busy? And in that busyness, been distracted from that God who's calling you home, who's welcoming you, who loves you? What areas of your life are in the muck and mire that you'd really like to turn over to God? You can do that. This is a story for us all. It's a story for each and every one of God's love in our lives in a wonderful and intimate way. I'd invite you to take a few moments with me right now just to think about the extraordinary love of God, and think about also in what ways you need to turn back to Him. Join with me in prayer.